In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, or rooms, or mansions, depending on the translation. These words that we just heard were given by Jesus at the Last Supper, and they were meant to comfort his disciples who knew that he would be leaving them. Today, this continues to be a well-known passage. Perhaps because it's read so often at funerals, its message comforting people today, even as it did then. But it's also memorable because of the great imagery. What could that place in God's house, prepared for us by Jesus, be like? Recently, when we told this story at our family service, we outlined a big house and then drew in all the things that the kids thought might be in there. They came up with windows, a bed, food, a dog, food for the dog. Unfortunately, I was the one doing the drawing, so I don't know if we'd call the image comforting, but still, it was fun for us to imagine together. And it's something that Christians have found joy in contemplating for centuries. As I was researching, though, several preachers and commentators suggested that the way we've thought about this passage for so many years might not be a good thing. There were concerns of our readings becoming individualistic and consumeristic, taking a passage that's meant to tell us something about God and turning it into something that's about us. Perhaps you've heard preachers who entice their audiences with visions of heaven, where there are luxury living spaces, marble floors, chandeliers, and fancy home entertainment systems. There is something suspect about imagining God's house as one that accommodates all of our earthly desires. And when we interpret Jesus' teachings, we do have to be careful of this. Because while Jesus is offering comfort here, his teachings aren't about making us feel good. They're about telling us what is good and right and true. Jesus asks us to take up our cross and to follow him, which is to have an outward, self-giving focus of loving God and neighbor. And the more we become like him and empty ourselves of self, which is to get in touch with our true selves, the less a mansion with 3D TVs is going to seem like a compelling way to spend eternity. Truly, one of the blessings of Christian and Jewish scripture and many of the world's religions is the message that the world does not revolve around us. The ancient Hebrews envisioned a world where God was the awesome, holy center of all things. Their laws commanded love and devotion to this God above all else. Jesus's fulfillment of Scripture affirms the same. But in modern Western culture, the self is at the center. We can think of Descartes' "I think, therefore I am," the philosophy in which existence is rooted in the thinking self. Christianity comes to look this way when God becomes just one of many things in life orbiting around the individual. But the problem with this model, whether it's in Christianity or in society, is that no one person is great enough to be at the center. Only God is. And so much of the discontent people feel in life stems from a self that is imagined at the center that can't sustain the weight of it. No amount of possessions, achievements, or popularity is going to fix it. And often, unhappiness is the result of a worldview where the self is simply in the wrong place. The world does not revolve around us. And this is why serving others, thinking beyond our own needs, living on less, and denying ourselves so that we can care for the planet, for animals, and for other people feels so satisfying. So we shouldn't read this passage and think, isn't it great all these things that God's going to do for me in heaven? We shouldn't be writing up the wish list for our mansion. This isn't House Hunters, though I doubt anyone here was actually doing that. But at the same time, God is saying something special here, so we shouldn't lose sight of it. And that is, whether it's a room, or a mansion, or a spiritual dwelling, there is a place for us prepared by God. There is a place for us where God resides. Places are so important because of what they communicate. Think about parents that lovingly set up a bedroom or nursery for a child. Or think of the way that our church has created spaces for children. As one of our Sunday school teachers says about her room, the kids know that this is a place that was created just for them. We also communicate something like this to our neighbors in the way that we maintain our church grounds and through Jeremiah development projects that beautify the neighborhood, like the community garden. Places signify value and belonging. And someone preparing a place for us says that we matter to them. And so we need to hear that through Jesus, God is saying that each of us matters to God. And this is not an isolated instance. Time and again, this idea is conveyed in Scripture. From passages like the one we read today, or the one from last week about the shepherd who knows and cares for each sheep, or Old Testament scriptures about God knowing us even as we were being knit in our mother's womb. And just as a life centered on God and an outward focus is important, part of stepping into that life comes from understanding that we matter to God. Because in God communicating this message to us, it lays a groundwork in our development for us to be able to do likewise. This work of showing other people that they matter is crucial. For children who aren't given it by a parent, it's been shown that a teacher, a coach, or a mentor who conveys it to them can be a difference that helps them transcend their situation. Or at the Shelter Care Spring Luncheon this last week, we heard Judge Zinoff talk about how diverting our attention from the mass incarceration of people with mental illness to the care of them, that is, showing they matter as people, would be the one thing that could transform our criminal justice system. And while it's especially important for us to know that we matter early on in our childhood development, this is something that's needed at all times. Communicating to another person that their life has worth can be the difference from their spiraling into depression or giving up to their rising up and thriving. We need to know that we matter to God, because once we get this in our bones, it becomes second nature to show to other people that they matter to us and that they matter to God. At the end of this passage, most surprisingly, Jesus says that we will do greater works than he. We might wonder, how is that possible? Jesus healed limbs, restored sight, brought people back to life. But just think about the way that we can heal, restore, and raise up when we convey to people their value and belonging. You matter. And so does the person sitting next to you and the people with whom your path will cross this week. And you're showing this in the way that God has shown you is indeed great. Amen.